This is The Takeaway. I'm Todd Zwillig. It's great to have you with us on this Friday. As we get closer to Tax Day, that's Tuesday the 17th this year, by the way, we begin with the voice of a U.S. taxpayer.
I was born in Mexico, and at the age of two, I migrated with my parents to New York. I'm 25 now, so I've been in the United States for a little bit over two decades. I've grown up here. This is where I call my home. This is where my friends are, and this is where my community is.
That's Yetziri Tovar. She's a taxpayer, but also an undocumented immigrant. Yetziri is a DACA recipient who works at Make the Road New York, an immigrant advocacy group. Roughly 12.5 million people are living in the United States without legal status right now. Now, there's a charge that's as old as migration to the United States itself, that immigrants don't pay their fair share, that they're a drain on public resources. Well, today, we wanted to make a fact check on that claim.
Roughly somewhere between 50 to 75% of undocumented immigrants do file income taxes and pay payroll taxes through the use of the I-10. For DACA recipients, it's another story. It's really every DACA recipient is paying and filing income taxes.
That's Meg Weehy there, Deputy Director of the Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy. We'll hear more from Meg in just a minute, but here's Yetziri Tovar again talking about why both she and her parents, who are not DACA eligible, pay taxes.
For as long as I can remember, my parents have been filing their taxes using an ITIN number, which they applied to the IRS. So my parents have been contributing year after year. Now with the DACA program, DACA recipients are able to apply for a Social Security number. So ever since I was able to work legally in the United States, I've been working and I've been filing my taxes. Even though at the end of the day, we don't benefit from any of the program, Social Security, that we're actually paying into.
So hang on a second, Yetziri. You have a Social Security number. Do you pay that Social Security tax, that what's called the FICA tax? You pay those taxes but have no expectation of any benefit?
Yeah, so every year, I actually filed my taxes last weekend, last Saturday. I woke up really early and I went to my accountant to file, knowing that I wouldn't benefit for any of other programs that people here who are citizens would be able to benefit from. And that's because also of the inaction of Congress. Congress has left many people like myself in the limbo after Trump ended DACA. So we don't know what's going to happen with our lives. We're fighting for a path to citizenship, to contributing even more to this country, but Congress is just not acting on it.
So look, Yetziri, you're young and you might not be too worried about Social Security just yet. Your parents are further along than you are. They're probably thinking about it a lot more than you are. Look, I know for many decades, they probably haven't had an expectation of Social Security benefits at all because they know the law, but they've been paying taxes for all these many decades, and that's a drain on their own finances.
Yes, I mean, they're the ones that, been telling me, file your taxes, make sure you file it. You only have a couple of months. They actually filed their taxes way ahead of than I did. They did it back in February. And it's because they understand that this is a commitment that they have done to this country, to this country that they've been living here for over two decades. They know it's the right thing to do. And they know that if one day further along there is some type of immigration reform, this would actually play in their favor. And they know that even though they're contributing and paying into these programs, they will never benefit. So it's definitely heartbreaking that I know that my parents won't have any type of security after they decide to retire. And maybe retirement is not even an option right now for them.
Now, you mentioned that your parents have paid taxes all along, knowing that eventually it may play in their favor. What did you mean?
People are always talking about undocumented folks being a drain in their economy, being lazy, not working. I mean, I think Trump called us lazy. He has called us so many things, I've lost track at this point. But we know that it's the right thing to do, and that's what we've been trying to do. And that's why my parents, year after year, they pay their taxes. They make sure that gets done right before the April deadline. And it's something that they have taught me to be diligent with my taxes and pay it ahead of time.
Yetziri Tovar, DACA recipient and taxpayer. Yetziri, thank you so much.
Thank you.
We turn now to Meg Weehy. Meg is deputy director of ITEP, the Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy, where she's worked on the economic impact of DACA recipients and undocumented immigrants. And I asked her if the experience of Yatsiri Tovar, a DACA recipient, sounds familiar.
Sounds very typical. My organization, the Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy, has for years been producing research estimating the state and local tax contributions that the more than 11 million undocumented immigrants pay every year, which we haven't really touched on yet. Yatsiri has talked a lot about filing income taxes, but I think it's important to note that at the state and local level, we collect sales taxes, which means every time someone purchases clothing or some other good or service, they're paying sales taxes. Everyone who owns a home or rents an apartment is paying property taxes, either directly or indirectly. So we're all taxpayers, regardless of our immigration status, and well beyond even paying payroll and income taxes.
Give me a sense of the overall contribution of undocumented immigrants to the tax revenues of the United States. And how important is it to the overall revenue for Uncle Sam?
Well, to the point that I just made, I think I would argue that all undocumented immigrants pay some sort of tax because sales and property taxes, excise taxes are pretty unavoidable. There's a sort of a myriad of research that shows roughly somewhere between 50 to 75% of undocumented immigrants do file income taxes and pay payroll taxes through the use of the I-10 that was mentioned earlier. For DACA recipients, it's another story. It's really every DACA recipient is paying and filing income taxes. And that's because, as Yatsiri said, they're given temporary Social Security numbers and they're required by law to file their personal income taxes. And then, of course, those payroll taxes that fund both Medicare and Social Security are taken out of their paycheck.
So Meg, Yatsiri is a DACA recipient. She has a temporary Social Security number, as you mentioned. Her parents aren't DACA recipients. They don't have Social Security numbers. How do people like Yatsiri's parents pay taxes?
They apply for and have to renew for something called an individual taxpayer identification number. And that is what is used in the absence of having a Social Security number. I think it's also, though, important to note that under tax law, regardless of your immigration status, employers are also required to file taxes and withhold employment taxes for the wages that they receive. So even an undocumented immigrant without an I-10 number may be having payroll taxes withhold from their paycheck.
You know, on the face of it, Meg, it sounds like an undocumented immigrant who's undocumented and not in contact with the government in other ways would be skittish or nervous about applying for an ITIN, getting registered with the IRS in this way, but people still do it.
Absolutely. And I think that, again, it was touched on earlier, there are many reasons for that. I think one is that undocumented immigrants really want to be front to prove their economic contribution to the U.S., document their residence here and that they have been paying taxes. And in fact, some of the comprehensive immigration bills that have come through Congress, including that in 2013, the bill that was passed by the Senate, would require some sort of documentation that undocumented immigrants had been paying their taxes basically since they arrived here. So I think there's both a sense of wanting to feel like they're a contributor to our community and to our society, but also it isn't important to building that path for citizenship that many hope that they'll one day have.
Now, Meg, your work and the tax load paid by DACA recipients wound up being pretty important in court when lawyers were filing against the Trump administration's move to rescind the DACA program. Can you explain the connection between those two things, between taxes and how the courts have ruled on DACA?
Well, there were two pieces of litigation, one led by the Attorney General in New York and one by, I believe, four plaintiffs in California. But both of those pieces of litigation had multiple states' attorney generals sign on. And the build for the case had many, many parts to it. But one of the arguments made by the attorneys generals in those states was that ending DACA would cause an economic or fiscal strain to their states because there was a recognition that DACA recipients were major providers of state and local tax revenue. And in some cases, that's even more so than the general undocumented immigrant population, because DACA recipients, by having temporary work authorization, also have higher wages. It allows them to have higher wages. And most DACA recipients are indeed working. So our research that shows that DACA recipients pay close to $2 billion in state and local taxes, and of course, for those court cases, we had amounts for each of the states, was really used, again, to build the case that by ending DACA could cause some financial strain to the state.
You know, I hear you say this, Meg, and I get the exact opposite conclusion that some people would draw, which is that DACA recipients, undocumented immigrants, are a drain on resources. Your research told the court that, in fact, it's quite the opposite.
That's correct. And I, you know, whenever I hear that drain on resources argument, it's a bit infuriating to me, honestly, because I think, you know, I don't think it makes sense to draw a balance line under anyone, not under you or me, whether or anyone, regardless of their legal status. Because how do you plausibly quantify the value of public education, the value of public safety, having clean water, clean air, healthcare, well-maintained roads, and do that on this sort of per-person basis, especially because all of these public benefits that our tax dollars pay for have multiple spillover effects, both not only to other people, but long-term effects as well. And that's why I think that the better question to ask is the one that we've been talking about, you know, today, which is whether or not undocumented immigrants or DACA recipients are paying their fair share in taxes. And when that question is asked, the obvious answer is yes. And I like to point out that not only are they paying their fair share of taxes, but they pay a higher share of their income on average in state and local taxes than the top 1% of taxpayers, the top 1% richest taxpayers in our country.
Meg Wiehe is Deputy Director of the Institute on Taxation and Economic Policy. Meg, thanks so much.
Thank you.